please be advised.
Spoiler alert episode. Spoiler.
Please be advised. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert.
Guess what, Marvel fans? It's Spoiler Ep 92, Captain Marvel. And who do you think our guest is?
Captain Longbox herself.
Actually, I use a three-tiered system of...
We don't do boards. We do them back-to-back. We save a twig. Bags and boards. We just do bags. We double them up.
Jackie Cation, ladies and gentlemen.
Yay! I'm back on Comedy Film Nerds to talk about a Marvel thing.
How did that happen?
Well, you can't have me on for anything else because I'm not really watching anything else. Sadly. I wish I were. I got a bunch of screeners, didn't watch any of them. Got a bunch of new coasters.
Oh. I got the Union SAG sent you over some coasters.
Yeah,
didn't they?
It's real nice. One said "Get Out" on it, which is a perfect coaster for somebody.
I love the Netflix ones. Like, do you really think I don't have Netflix?
Right. How? What do you think?
If I don't have Netflix, you think I'm gonna then watch this on a DVD? You think I'm going to watch Ozark on DVD?
I'm not going to watch Ozark. That's what just happened. God, so,
spoiler alert, Ozark
on DVD
should have ended in season one. The Mexican drug cartel should have just come and wiped everyone out.
Oh, yeah.
But in season two, they're like, the bumbling Mexican drug cartel. Warp, warp. Like, Gilligan's running the cartel.
Did you hear they're doing a Sex in the City 3? Anyway.
Wow.
Speaking of
wow.
things that should have been murdered so, while they were in the Middle East.
So Ozark is not like... It's not like a Narcos, is what you're saying?
No. Doesn't have... If Narcos took
the
place...
The gravitas of Deadwood?
It's anyway, we're not here to talk Netflix.
No, we're not. Captain Marvel.
Yeah, let's talk about Captain Marvel.
Okay. I said this on the regular episode. I went into this super pumped up. Loved the trailer. Had some problems with it.
Well, you can't. Now, what is this? The 20th movie, right? 20 or 21?
Yeah, 21 Marvels.
Right.
In there.
So, if it would have been as good as, you know, First Avenger or, mm-hmm. you know, it was as good as some of the best. It was not as good as Black Panther.
Sure.
But it was, for me, it was great. And of course, all movies, much like Wonder Woman, it has to be so many things to so many people to get over the first hump of not being... you know, because there's a woman headlining mm-hmm. protagonist, whatever. And heaven forfend that we not address that. How about we don't address it? How about as an origin story and as the Captain Marvel, shocker, I loved it. You got it.
Now, let's talk about that for a minute, because one of the problems I had with the film that I thought did feel flat was the way Captain Marvel was written. Her dialogue and her performance, I thought, was a little flat. Expressionless.
I love Brie Larson. I think it was. Yeah. My problems were this, as I said in the regular episode. Some of the dialogue, and I was talking to someone else about
this.
She's
a great actress.
I think it was some script stuff.
You didn't see the character differences? The thing is okay, she was wooden. She was incredibly stiff. Mm-hmm. And she was stiff because she had amnesia and she had nightmares. The only time where she came alive, where she was completely having the time of her life, was when she was kicking ass.
Right.
She was kind of, I mean, the movie opens with her going, "Hey, I had a bad dream. Let's go hit each other." And she was only having fun when she was fighting. She came alive when she was fighting. She was the kind of superhero who just wanted to fight. We haven't seen that in a woman superhero. Even Wonder Woman mm-hmm. was like, she would have these like weird monologues about peace. And Captain Marvel was like, no, let's go punch some things.
That might have been the intention, because I think part of it
was entirely the intention.
Like when you have like a character with amnesia, they're not sure what they should be feeling or what they should be remembering.
She was super stiff.
Yeah, I agree. But
there was a stillness to her.
I think that lasted far too long into the film. Like, I would have
it was a little distracting
her.
For you.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen her. Like, if we're gonna make that arc, make it more pronounced and make it more apparent throughout the entire film, especially towards the end, because I felt like she never got past that wooden stiffness, even when she did regain her memory.
I thought there was a lot of looseness at some of those last two scenes with her friend and the kid Proton. Mm-hmm. I think that there was a lot more. There was just a relaxation and an openness.
Now, how that, did? Well, yeah. I was going to ask as we're talking about the character, like, because there's clearly some differences between the books and the film. What were the most obvious differences between the comic and what we saw on the screen?
Well, Kelly Sue DeConnick wrote the arc that they took. Right. And it was, I mean, there was a lot of great things about it. I love that the Skrulls, these are spoilers, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah. Anything.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, real quick. Anyone who's new to this, we're going to talk about key elements of the movie. This is what a spoiler episode is.
By definition.
So the ending, all of that. If you haven't seen this movie, hit the pause button, go watch it and come back, because we're going to talk about all the key elements. In the regular Comedy Film Nerd episodes, we do not give away spoilers. This is why we call this a spoiler episode. Jackie Cation, you have the floor.
There we go. So the Skrulls are the good guys in the end. It's like, because that was one of my favorite parts about it.
I remember reading the comics, and the Skrulls were never good guys.
They are occasionally, you know, they have a diaspora. They have been destroyed by the Kree so bad that there were the only two things that I thought were just okay about the movie, because the whole thing I loved the movie. Do you know what it had for me? It had the heart. And this is gonna blow some minds. It has the heart of the Superman movie that Christopher Reeves did. That's what I felt. Her character was literally that kind of purity. You know, it had that kind of purity of intent. She wanted to fly higher, faster, further. She wanted to be the good guy. She wasn't gonna lie. She thought that she was a noble hero. She thought she came from a noble hero race, and she wanted to live up to that. And that was my favorite part of that movie. I thought this would be really good for kids and really good for girl kids. They pulled a lot of different stuff. Obviously, Captain Mar-Vell, you know, Mar-Vell was a man, and he was a Kree soldier, and he was sent to in the first showing up of Captain Marvel was in like 68 when she was Ms. Marvel. And
I have the first 10 issues
of that.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. And she was great. And then she comes back in the late 70s, and that the Machine Man, who was it who stole her away and essentially raped her and then became it was an X-Men. It was great. It was son of a bitch. Anyway, I'm sure somebody's yelling at their iPod right now. But I was glad that they didn't use that part of it, where one of the first times she goes out into space in the 70s, when she went from being Ms. Marvel to Captain Marvel, which I think this was the 70s, and it she comes back to Earth pregnant from the guy who kidnapped and raped her, and she has that guy, his clone, as her baby. And the X-Men just kind of blow it off. They're like, bitches, man. They're weird. And so...
I don't remember that story arc at all.
You don't remember? Oh, man. And the thing is I'm not as prepared as I have been on previous Marvel episodes, because I saw it over a week ago. And I saw it multiple times. I saw it twice the first weekend it came out. And I want to see it again. And I almost went and saw it yesterday, but I'm going on the road for 3 weeks next week, so I'm kind of swamped. But there was this thing where, and Chris, who wrote everything in the 90s?
Chris Claremont?
Claremont, yeah. Was it Chris Claremont? Damn it. I hope so. But he...
If you're talking X-Men, he did.
Yeah, he did? Okay. Mm-hmm. So he brings her back, and she has amnesia. And when at the end of this arc, she is given back her memory by Professor X, she spends the entire, like the fifth issue of this arc, just chewing out the X-Men going, why would you let that guy just take me? And why would you not ever address that I have that him as a baby? He grows up super fast because he's an alien. And then we have sex again. Why? And then you have to fight him in the end anyway. And it's essentially Kang the Conqueror, but when he's not Kang. Do you remember that guy?
I remember Kang the Conqueror. I don't remember him
not being Kang. His
secret identity. Yeah.
No, he's got another identity. He becomes Kang the Conqueror eventually. Mm-hmm. And too much info, brain full of things. So, but the movie Captain Marvel doesn't do any of that. It just, they have her taken by the Kree. The Kree, they are supercilious pieces of shit. So it's kind of awesome. I did not recognize Annette Bening initially and then did. And I was like, oh, look, it's that lady from American President. Because I don't know a lot about movies. And
the lady from American President.
And Bugsy.
That's the Annette Bening movie you're referencing. Oh, my God. The president's single and he's going to date. Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Oh, my God.
feel free to disregard my attitudes because clearly I have the worst taste. But I loved Captain Marvel. I loved... you know how they kept showing those flashbacks to her, you know, falling off the rope, mm-hmm. getting knocked down off the seesaw, getting the go-kart thing, and every single, they show that like two or three times, right? Like you do. And, you know, you don't introduce flashbacks into a plot and never use them. So they are used in the final, in her final battle with the AI on Kree, where they show the next part of the scene.
Right, when she gets back up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's awesome.
What when you saw those flashbacks and those memories, like it was alluded to that some of those memories may have been false or implanted and they're all jumbled up. Like when I was watching, I was trying to figure out, especially after the movie was over, I'm like, well, now which one of those flashes were some of them false? Or
I think they were just truncated.
Uh-huh.
I think that they just... stopped them before she got up mm-hmm. is a way to control her, and they put that.
But
disc
it seemed like some
neck.
Of them like contradicted each other. Like sometimes one would show something, one would show. I don't remember exactly. I only saw it once, but I remember like that kind of being like, well, she doesn't know what she can remember because her brain's all jumbled.
No, I think that they were feeding her other information and saying okay. that her memories were not necessarily. Well, they changed the who was walking at her. They made it a Skrull
mm-hmm.
Shooting at her. In the memory when she's crashed,
right?
When it turns out it was, I believe, Jude Law.
Yeah.
So
here's the thing.
I feel like Jude Law, if he saw you crash just in real life, he would shoot at you.
Oh yeah, he's shooting at somebody who's crashed right now. Somebody's scooter went down and he's opening fire on them right now in central London.
And someone's defending him unnecessarily at an awards show.
The Skrull, I'm getting confused. The Kree.
Yeah.
They're the
Kree
bad.
And the Skrulls.
The Skrulls were the bad ones that ended up being the good ones at
right.
the end. Mm-hmm. Okay. So I love that idea. And I love that, like, oh, wow. And it's sort of, to me, and again, this is like anything. It's one of the things I loved about Wonder Woman was I loved the anti-war aspect to it. I loved the fact that she thought, oh, I'm with the good guys. And no, turns out maybe not. And she has to kind of reconcile that. I love that
right.
conflict. I love the fact that my problem, and this again goes back to the script thing, is then they then become these all this wacky hijinks comedy when they're like, oh, where's Mr. Captain Science? Your science guy? And I was like, come
on. Oh, the riffing?
Yeah.
The weird riffing scene?
I didn't like the weird riffing scene? No, because I was like...
Well, there were things that did irritate me, if we want to talk about that, but I want to talk about a movie we loved. Anyway, but the things that
well,
did irritate
me... Well, spoiler. We got to get in a nitpicky.
Get it all in. The CGI was distracting. Coulson and Sam Jackson's CGI was...
I don't like that choice.
No, it's very video
everyone's
game.
Everyone's getting Benny buttoned.
I don't like it because I'm like, oh, wow, robots. I'm looking at computers and robots.
Right. It has that sort of weird besort kind of where you're just like, nah, that feels off. And then they did an allusion to the Marvel thing when he said Marvel would be better. And and then he sings from the Marvelettes. And I assume because of the CGI that they also auto-tuned him because he sounded great.
Yeah.
but I thought, and a lot of people, there was a bunch of nerds who didn't like the Flarkin, the cat.
Oh, love the cat.
I love the cat.
The cat was actually incredibly well done. But they were like, no, Nick Fury's a badass. badass. And you're like, this is 30 years before. This is Nick Fury learning. He came from Vietnam, right? Or World War II or whatever. Whoever
retconned the timeline is.
Yeah, whatever he's coming from retcon, because we're 100 years later. Mm-hmm. And so he's got that war vibe. I did love this. I'm going to talk about three things at once. I loved when Carol Danvers, Captain Marvel, was having that moment where she was like, well, I killed a bunch of Skrulls. And that Skrull said, we're all covered in blood.
Well, that was great. I love those messages and I love that stuff. So this is a thing that happens to me when there's scenes and themes that I really dig, and then there's like clunky dialogue next to it.
It pulls you out.
It really pulls me out because I'm like, you had it.
Yeah.
You had it.
All you needed was one more rewrite from one of those eight writers.
When I see eight writers, and we talked about this in the regular episode because we had Heather Dowling and Michelle Barton, who these two women are both directors, and we were all, four of us were saying, not fans of two directors. I don't think that. I think unless it's like Coen brothers, they share a brain. They have a hive mind.
Right. Yep.
They're Borg.
Or even the Russo brothers. You're looking at like Infinity War, I forgot about them. They're, mm-hmm. That's the one time it works too.
It can work.
It's rare.
But it's hard. Like I said in the regular episode.
Infinity War was a mess. Mm-hmm. Infinity War was great, but it was also a mess.
Right.
So, I mean.
Well, you know, maybe those two directors were each directing on other sides of the planet.
Which is part of the problem with two directors.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, and the weird thing is about this world now and how big it is and how much we expect from these movies, mm-hmm. and how much we want from these characters. It's, you're never going to get that visceral joy of Iron Man, a character you've never heard of, having a movie.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, it's 12 years later, and you're like, no, everyone knows who Iron Man is.
If this would have come out between Iron Man 1 and 2, I probably would have done backflips for it.
Right.
You know
what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, is that for what it is, it's up there with some of my favorite ones. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, obviously, there's Black Panther, the Ant-Man series, those two Ant-Man series, but the Ant-Man series and this, Captain Marvel, are the three, I would say, mostly for children.
That's a great point. That's reason why I didn't like Ant-Man 1, because I felt like I was watching Spy Kids. I like the second Ant-Man more because I love the Wasp, and that interaction was really cool.
And I loved Ant-Man and the Wasp, except for that Ant-Man and the Wasp was less... It had... you know what I love about Ant-Man, and I've always said this, is that the stakes are low.
Yes. Yeah.
He just wants to hang out with his daughter, man.
Yeah, it was a great like kind of refresher on a reset on a big Marvel movie.
It was
a great palate cleanser.
Right. And they could put him to use, and here's the other thing about Captain Marvel though, is that they need Captain Marvel. They need her for Infinity War Endgame.
Right.
Right.
Or Avengers Endgame, because she is the Tesseract.
Right.
She gets her powers. When she is flipping the Tesseract up in the air, I'm like, what the fuck? What the fuck? No, Cosmic Cube, careful. And but she, that's where she, it's nothing to her. That's where she got her power. She can beat Thanos because of it.
Yeah, and we were saying this.
Good thing she didn't get snapped out.
I hope.
Oh, right.
Yeah, you know, that would have trumped it.
I think I'm excited to see this character and Brie Larson in Endgame, because I feel like, again, I just like too many. Anytime I see 7-8 writers, I go, boy, watch out. That's too many rewrites. And
yeah, we'll see what the other filmmakers do with this character.
Right. And putting her, especially her, in the context of the whole universe. And part of it is, and you bring up great points, we're on movie 20 or 21.
Yeah.
Some of it is because the two guests we had on last week, neither one of them were big comic book fans,
right? Or Marvel fans, or movie fans.
Well, they love the Marvel movies. They both love, and so it was that thing of, and this is the thing that I like about these Marvel films, is you don't have to be your level of knowledge,
true,
to get them.
Right.
I was a little.
There's
entry points. Mm-hmm. This movie, kind of like the first Thor for me, had some like, wait, who are?
I freaking love the first Thor, only because I had been reading it and it's so true what you just said about putting her in this bigger universe and having other writers write her,
mm-hmm.
because I'm sort of used to it. I mean, if you go through comic book writers, you go through comic book writers.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, well.
No one person has written Spider-Man.
No.
That's, you know.
There's this writer's Spider-Man. There's that writer's Spider-Man.
Right. And my least favorite thing about anybody who takes over a new character, like one of the big characters, is the first thing they do is they kill them. They're like, I'm gonna be the one who kills Captain America.
Yep.
I'm gonna be the one.
Nobody wants that to happen.
Nobody, don't do it. No.
Or make him a spy or a traitor.
Or any of that. You want to put your stamp on it so that it's gonna get you what, more signatures at a Comic-Con?
You remember at DC they did that with Animal Man? It was one of those books that was just kind of not doing that well, and then there was a new run. I think it was.
I read that.
And where it was literally like they killed him so brutally in like the first issue of like this new relaunch. It was like, oh my God, I guess they're.
Was it with his daughter? Was that where his daughter got all of his powers? And it was.
No.
There was an amazing run of Animal Man. Who the hell wrote that? But it was this. It only lasted 14, maybe 21 issues.
This one was like a Superman type of arc where, you know, eventually he came back.
Well, it was about the green, you know, the green power and the red power fighting each other. Did you read that one?
No.
Okay. Anyway, I recommend it.
Yeah.
It was a really nice arc. It wasn't that long either, so it's probably two graphic novels.
I think too, like, part of this is the first Thor movie I had a hard time following,
right.
And that's my probably least favorite genre is the fantasy world, obviously, is not my wheelhouse.
Oh, right, more magic-y and...
Yeah, magic wandy. I'm like, come on.
Oh, we've had this conversation.
Yes,
we have.
No, anytime we do a Hobbit spoiler, it's just me asking questions.
Like, why are they short? Why are they all short?
Oh, what's with the weird ears and accents?
Hairs on their feet? Is that a thing?
I don't get it. Come on.
Okay.
It's a lot of pointy ears and haircuts.
Yeah. But then I loved the Ragnarok. Ragnarok was a blast. So part of it is... that aspect of this character's world might not have resonated as much with me, but I still believe it. I don't like the two director thing because like Patty Jenkins,
it muddies it, right? Or something.
It muddies it. And because Patty Jenkins, man, you knew she was like, this is how I'm doing Wonder Woman. This is how it's going down. Mm-hmm. And that's why I love that film. And I was like, wow, I knew exactly
the arc of that.
I knew everything about Wonder Woman, and Brie Larson is an amazing actress. So I really, that's why I put it more on the script.
Yeah.
Because,
for any problems that you had,
for any problems that I have. And I understand, I'm sure some of it too, the directors were going, well, we want to use 90s action movie dialogue.
Do you think that was a trap they fell into?
I think that maybe that was a choice they made that they just didn't execute as well as I would have liked.
Because the 90s things were goofy. I did enjoy the uploading. That was very fun.
That stuff was funny. I mean, going to an internet cafe. Yep.
Oh, we mentioned this on the regular episode. One of the cool things that Captain Marvel did, like as a promotional thing, they created a 90s website with like all these weird frames and GIFs and like, you know, little animations. So if you go to like Captain Marvel, the movie, it's got like all these cool, like, and it's got like, you play the trailer in a real grainy, like little real player thing. It's cool. Oh, by the way, Animal Man, this is, I couldn't find the exact run, but what happened is, I remember this now. Is, you know, it was a regular DC comic, but then DC was launching, remember, the Vertigo line, which was like, quote, for mature leaders.
Yep.
So it was one of those weird things where they moved that character from the regular DC lineup to Vertigo, and then like they made it all crazy and weird and violent and so dark. Yeah. So it wasn't like a new title. It was like, okay, well, you know, we have the Animal Man. He's talks to animals and control them and turns into things. And now I'm like, oh my God, he's getting killed. And now we're talking about conservation and you know, the planet and all this weird dark shit in the earth. So
who wrote that?
Let's see. I think did Grant Morrison have a run?
I think it was the Grant Morrison run
had a run. I'm not sure. They had a bunch.
That's the one I think that I loved.
Yeah.
Because it was the red power versus the green power or whatever. Yeah. Anyway, it was a big Christmas story.
Yeah.
Anyway, so but I will say this, when when we're done, and we won't ever, because this is a cash cow that will not stop with the milk. No.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's Jamie Delano. He killed off the character like in the first episode.
Yeah, I never read that one. Mm-hmm. So, but the crazy thing about this is when if we were to look at the 20 episodes, right? I mean, mm-hmm. obviously the Ed Norton Hulk, that's not a great one.
No.
It was pretty good. I mean, it had some good parts to it.
It had some decent moments
right.
to it.
You know,
but the original Avengers, that will always be my favorite. It grew on me.
That Hulk one definitely grew on me after second viewing. Like, you know what? In the grand scheme of the universe, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was.
And it works.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I mean, that's the whole thing about all of the ones that are bad. Like, and Captain Marvel isn't anywhere near bad. But it's, but when you try to watch, like, Iron Man 2 and 3, people are like, those are the worst. And then you watch them again, you're like, oh, not bad. I kind of like that one.
Right.
And and then you watch Civil War. That was mad. Parts of that were maddening to me. Mm-hmm. And it just exhausting. But parts of it were great. And that is true with, I mean, this is, the world is so big. The universe of these characters is so big. And they're going so deep into the long boxes to make, because they're just, you know, poor thing about Disney. The check to check, they're living. And so what they got to do is they got to go into the long boxes and try to find a character.
That little startup, I hope it gets off the ground.
One day that mouse is going to really, it's going to be able to just buy some land.
If only they could buy more companies and licenses to really ferment their brand.
You know what, that's called passive income. I heard about that.
That's what they need is residual income. Disney, are you listening, Disney? Multiple revenue streams. Have you heard of this?
So, but when it all comes down to it, Captain Marvel will be one of my favorites. But there's definitely ones that, like Black Panther and Winter Soldier and First Avenger, are three of my favorites, right? And then I love the Avengers, and then I love the two Ant-Mans and this Captain Marvel. For sort of
no real Guardians in that list.
No Guardians. Here's the thing, is I liked the Guardians a lot. And the first one I liked a lot. The second one I almost liked better. But when I look back on it, those didn't make the top five, which is weird.
Wow.
Because everyone's got their own top
five. I think we're
going to
have a different list.
Yeah, I think, well, you want to laminate? See if you can sleep with one of them?
Yeah.
That's a Friends reference, you guys. I used to watch television.
Yeah.
So, no, but like, what would be,
like, I would
like, where would you put this
one? I would put Civil War and Guardians of the Galaxy probably up
really?
At the top. Those are my favorites. And then I would put Captain Marvel down at the bottom. It was my least favorite Marvel movie.
Really? I wouldn't put, Captain Marvel wasn't at the bottom, I would have to say.
Well, except for Hulk. I would put Hulk at the bottom. Then I would put Captain Marvel.
You put Hulk at the bottom?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'd put Captain Marvel's like in the middle. Like there's a lot of parts of it that I like, but then there's the parts
I put
that
Mickey Rourke Iron Man on the bottom.
Oh boy, that one is.
I didn't mind that one.
But here, I mean the thing is there is no bottom.
Yeah,
with
I know.
Me. With all the Marvel movies, I'm like,
I mean,
oh,
even,
yeah, is that
even
on?
The worst ones are watchable. It's like when Pixar makes an okay movie, I'm like, you know what? It's still pretty good.
Yeah, it's for me, like a top five is just the standouts of 20 some movies that I liked at various levels.
Right. Liked all of them at various levels.
Right. There's no Marvel movie, unlike DC, where I went, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm never watching this movie again.
Like, enough. Like, I've never done that at a Marvel film.
Yeah.
Right, right. It's true. I've never done that with a Marvel film.
There's always
never thought about walking out and punching Zack Snyder in the face.
Even, I mean, there's DC movies that I just went, oh, I'm never going to see that. And I haven't, and I won't.
And well, there was some that I watched, on the back of the chair on the Delta flight. On mute, and I didn't mind them. You know, I mean, like if Superman versus Batman is playing on, you know, on mine, and then on somebody else's in front of me, I'm like, oh, that's a good scene coming up, and so I'll sit through it. I'll watch it on mute. I'll read a book, but yeah, there's none of that, but Captain Marvel. I mean, the thing is her friendship with Nick Fury. I really liked because it felt like. Military equals is what it felt like. I didn't even mind the throwback to Coulson. I liked that Coulson was in it. I liked that he was one of the...
That was fine origin
the
story.
The Skrull stuff was really fun as far as they would change to people, and that was super fun. And the surfing scene where it's like, this one's taken. That was hilarious.
Yeah.
And so I thought that they did the humor pretty well. You guys found it a couple jarring a couple of times. Yeah,
again, it really went to a dialogue thing for me. I thought it was a missed opportunity with Nick Fury. I'm like, oh, we're going to get kind of his, origin story woven into this.
Right.
And then again, it just, I guess.
The fact that there hasn't been a Nick Fury movie is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Did you ever read that Max version of Nick Fury origin?
Well, here's what I would really like to see. And let's say, I wonder if Marvel's working on this. They're working on a Black Widow movie.
Right.
Now, it's a great opportunity to also tell Nick Fury's origin in the scope of that film as well, because, you know, you could tell they're close.
Yep.
They have a long-lasting relationship.
Right.
And their pasts are probably intertwined, even more so than Captain Marvel.
Do you know a one-shot that that I've always wanted to see is the, a couple of them. One of them is what really happened in Budapest. I would like Hawkeye, Black Widow, Budapest thing.
They keep referencing it.
Well, just the ones, but I love it. I'm constantly, you and I remember Budapest differently. It's something that I say in life. So, and then the other one would be a one shot. I think it was Ultron Avengers movie where they're all at that party, but Jane Foster and Pepper Potts are not at that party. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I have always, and I might have told you guys this before, is I want the one shot of them out to dinner, like just called the Bechdel test, and them not discussing either Iron Man or Thor, just talking about their own, like a project that they're working on together.
Right.
Just a scientific business deal that they're working on.
That'd be great. That wasn't even in the extras.
That would have been the greatest one shot. Remember those one shots they used to do?
Mm-hmm.
And there was, and the fact that they got rid of the one shots is sad for me because that was,
those were cool.
Those were cool.
Well, one of the things, getting back to what you were saying too, with the villains here, I found the villain with the sense of humor entertaining. Like, I thought that was fun.
Oh, yeah.
But
Skrull villain?
Yeah. I think, like, it felt like it was, I was watching two different Skrull movies. Like, because it started out so harsh as the villains. I'm like, well, we kind of made this pivot very harshly. And, like you said, it's like, what, now the science officer doesn't know what they're doing? This militaristic, heartless, these villains are now. I'm like, no, we're just kind of trying to find a home, and we have a sense of humor, and, you know, everything, we have children and everything's great. I'm like, you could kind of make that transition, like, but it was very, very abrupt.
It felt abrupt.
Yeah. I don't know why they had to go
or just start that
so
way.
Hard yeah. into wacky land when it's like, show them as the big mean enemy and then go, wow, they're just trying to survive. And that scene, which was so great, where he goes, look, we both have blood on our hands, or however we said
right.
it, you know.
Well, because, but that's what I loved about it, because they had been vilified and painted as one-dimensional, right? And then there was that scene where they hear, they get it, you know. Captain Marvel understands what has been done to them and how they are now being hunted. And it is, you know, All of these things, and comic books have done this forever, much like all different weird art forms, where there's not always a message, but there's always an opportunity for a parallel or a parable, right? Mm-hmm. And the parable there
the main
is that
character needs to learn something, Jackie.
Well, yeah, you need an arc, and so she has been raised essentially. She was born 2 years earlier on Kree. That's all she knows. She is a Kree mm-hmm. noble hero, a noble race of warrior heroes or whatever. And what she has been told is that these are monsters.
Right.
These are monsters. They don't have families. They don't have emotions. They aren't funny. They aren't sweet. They don't have regret or remorse. They are monsters.
Mm.
Essentially, what I, in my opinion, white people have been told about black people their entire lives. Is
well,
that,
you could make that analogy to anything. Americans, we think all the terror,
the terrorists, the Middle East terrorists.
They're all evil terrorists. It's like, a lot of them were just poor and everything got blown up by our drones. And
right,
they had
and they're trying to live their lives.
Yeah.
And they're, yeah. And there's a lot of children there.
And there's too, a lot of poverty right? in a Middle Eastern country while the ruling, the ruling families
the three
live
people
in palaces.
Have, right, right. Everyone else has gold flaked, whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought it was actually, I can see how you could see it was abrupt, but it was so, it's like a flash of, it's like her amnesia going away. It's a flash of blinding light.
I love that.
idea.
You love that. That's what I saw.
That's what you saw. No, and I see. But I'm again. I go back. The dialogue was. They could have done that in a little smarter way.
The next four times I watch this movie, I am going to be watching that dialogue, and I want you to know when I buy it on DVD.
Because, and I think, and maybe this was the choice of we're gearing this for kids, so we're going to make the language a little more wacky, kid jokey. Maybe that was a choice, but I don't know that they wrote it for kids.
More trying to hit the 90s vibe. I think that was more of the choice.
I think they could have just pulled back and kept it a little bit more in reality because, this is your science. Oh, so suddenly Gilligan is your science guy?
Yeah. Like, come on,
right. That was jarring, but there's, you know, there's stuff like that. And that kind of scene does fit more in with a Guardians kind of thing.
Sure.
But which is what made the Star-Lord character in... Here's why I don't like the Guardian movies as much as I used to like them. In Infinity War, he drove me fucking nuts. That character, I was like, oh, next to the rest of these guys, you're a piece of shit. And so it makes me like him less. It's like when he got into the bigger universe, he pales in comparison to Steve Rogers.
Well,
because in his world, he's the funniest, coolest guy in his little ship. And then when he's like...
And, you know, the Guardians movies are far out science fiction, you know, fantasy type movies.
Yeah, they're definitely for children.
And they're
scavenger, you know, orphan.
You know, the rest of the superhero... Well,
he's
actually,
Han Solo,
that's not true,
right? I mean, he's more of a Han Solo character.
But yeah, it's definitely... has that vibe, whereas like the Avengers movies and, you know, the ground-based heroes are more grounded, like with the Earth, and all of a sudden, you know, you've got Star-Lord with a, you know, talking raccoon and a tree and showing up in the same universe.
Yeah, and Gamora is clearly much more serious. Like, she lives in space. Mm-hmm. He is just visiting space from Kansas or wherever the hell he's from. And, But he was so likable in those movies that I love him in those movies. But when he's in the Avenger movies, I'm like, yeah, you are not. There's no gravitas there. Like, this is not. He isn't even. He's not quippy like Iron Man is, and he's not. He's not a hero like Captain America is. So, and he's not like. He's not a mythical beast like Thor is.
He fits in like Ant-Man does.
Yeah. 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 Because the stakes are low. You know, with him, he is just trying to make money and just trying to hang out. But rising to the occasion when he...
He is half living planet, you remember.
Well, his ego, he is half living. He's one of the planetariums. What are those guys called again? It's know-it-all, nowhere. What's the... What did they turn the...
The celestials.
Yeah, he's a celestial. Anyway, so he's half celestial. And...
Well, let's get into the ending.
Okay. And the spoil.
What
and
movie
the,
are we talking about again?
Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's always with the Marvel things. We always go into a long...
Because they're so tangent. Intertwined.
Yeah. They're so intertwined. Mm-hmm. So... What did you think of the ending, Jackie?
So remind me of the order of events. So
let's walk. We find it's all been a week for us
because we have the tags too.
Right. So they upload the information. We find out that they're not the bad guys. That they're actually being exterminated by the Kree. They go up to Mar-Vell's orbiting
space
lab.
Station.
Yeah.
Space station. They go in, they find the family, they make some kind of lame jokes about pinball, and then Jude Law shows up with his goons.
Right.
And they want the Tesseract.
Yes.
And they put it in a Fonzie lunchbox.
Yes.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I didn't mind that. '90s. I don't know why they'd still have Fonzie
lunchboxes. Then the Flurkin eats it.
The cat eats it.
And the Flurkin eats it. Yep. And the Flurkin, the fact that the Flurkin had like Cthulhu tentacles, I am completely on board.
Yes.
And the Flurkin is from the comics as well, so everyone knows. And I liked the Flurkin. Anyway, so, and I'm not a huge fan of cats. So,
you got a bunch of them crawling around your house outside. Oh my God, the feral ones.
We have dozens of feral cats.
The valley has a feral cat thing.
Isn't
like
that weird?
No other part of Los Angeles.
Andy has caught three of them and gotten them fixed and then released them back. You have to
Into
take
the
them
wild.
Back from mm-hmm. Fix Nation. They won't keep them. Mm-hmm. He's like, really? And so he's fixed three of them, but he's got to catch another 11.
Yeah.
And the same three keep walking into the trap because they're the dumbest. it's all action, right? They're running around, everybody's killing everybody else. And I did like, here's what I really liked is that Talos, I forget, turns into one of the Kree soldiers that is leading them to the airlock to throw them all out.
Right.
That I thought was I was like, we better use the Skrull thing one more time because that's their superpower. Mm-hmm. And they weren't super Skrull, by the way. Those are regular walking around Skrulls.
Right. Super Skrulls actually have the powers. They mimic.
Yeah. And they could absorb up to three powers and of different superheroes. Anyway,
four on a Sunday.
Any given Sunday. And I saw that movie. Nice costuming. So, so they beat him. Ronan pops out of space.
Mm-hmm.
Ronan was kind of lame, I thought. And at first did not think it was the same actor.
I didn't think it was either at first.
Yeah, that was weird, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he pops out, the four pop out. We are reminded of, because now she has all those powers, when she goes through one of those Kree ships, that was a superpower that she got. I forget where she got that photon power, but we're reminded through it as she blows up that ship and just blows it to hell in a handbasket. Mm-hmm. That was awesome. And then Ronan's like, oh, well, I guess we'll come back. Mm-hmm. Pink, pink, pink. And then they're gone. And then reunited back on the planet.
Yeah, that was good. I think she was a little overpowered towards the end because it was like she's invincible. Now she's inside the spaceship, she's outside the spaceship, and nothing can kind of stop her.
Nothing can stop her. She got the power from the Tesseract. And then remember the powers of the Cosmic Cube? It's a wish Infinity Stone. And they've muddled it in the MCU, but it's still the Cosmic Cube.
Mm-hmm.
So she has almost limitless power. You know, she doesn't need the mask to breathe in mm-hmm. space. She doesn't, she's Superman, right? And when they took off that, you know, and the joy in the flashbacks when she's flying,
mm-hmm.
the joy when she's just flying,
mm-hmm.
those are my favorite scenes where she's like, all she wants to do, she wants to fight and fly, fight mm-hmm. and fly. Second time I saw that movie, by the way, got in a fight, you guys.
Oh, let's hear about
did you fly?
Before, well, let's hear this. Let's hear your fight story, and then we'll go into the stingers.
Okay.
Wait, what did you think about the end? Because in the end, she's sitting there. She takes her coat with the kid, and then she heads off with the Skrulls to find them a planet.
I like that.
I thought that was fine. That was like an old Western.
Yeah, because she sides up with what was her mortal enemies at the end, which I thought was really cool. And obviously I was like, I mean, that's the beauty of the MCU is you're like, okay, well, where are we going next?
Right, you know, right. There's another story.
This isn't, we're not done. This just finished
there'll
this.
There'll be so, another Captain Marvel.
So I was like, any of the like some of the problems I had, I was like, well, this is a good ending. I liked it and I want to see
it
more.
Ended the arc well.
It ended the arc well.
It was sort of like, I liked how Ragnarok was sort of felt like a real arc to it as well.
Yeah.
And then she sticks Jude Law back in a pod and sends him back to the Kree Nation with a message of, hey, get it together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stop being dicks.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we have the stinger of the Flurkin coughing up the Cosmic Cube.
Right, because you're like, where is the Tesseract?
But now, was that, when did the...
he'd lost his eye.
Yeah, when did Goose scratch the eye? Was that was earlier. That wasn't in a...
That was when they were on the ship.
Okay.
Because he tried to do something and he keeps getting worse, which is it's a wacky way to explain how Nick Fury loses his eye, but I don't care. I don't have a problem with that. So that's the Flurkin one. There's of course there'll be the Goose And do you think Goose was named after Top Gun?
That's what I thought. Sure. That's what I mean, right? I like that stuff. I was like, oh, that's a Top Gun thing.
That's neat.
And then the other one had Rocky or Balboa or whatever. So the one pilot was like, they called her Rocky or whatever. No, she had some another 90s reference.
Oh, okay. Oh, fun.
Yeah. The pilot. God, I'm looking at the page right now. The movie brought in $320 million thus far.
Oh, so far, 320?
It's doing okay,
it's doing all right. Yeah. It is doing all right. It was...
Yeah, I think, again, I think it's all going to work out.
Yeah, I think I'm sure Marvel and Disney are very happy with the...
It's so funny because I didn't know who Brie Larson was.
No, Rambo. Her last name was Rambo.
Oh, that's right.
They were like, kept...
But it's Rochambeau, isn't it? Isn't her last name Rochambeau?
I thought it was Rambo.
Because I think it's Rochambeau because her daughter grows up to be a Captain Marvel for a second and then turns into Photon. So, she grows up, she ends up being a superhero. And I forget if she's an Inhuman or an X-Men or if it's just... No, I think she also gets some Kree energy off of Captain Marvel. I think they get in another accident next to each other. But I stand corrected if anybody wants to write to me from the long boxes. So what was the second Stinger?
The first one was what?
The first Stinger?
Yeah.
Was the cat I thought that was
the
cat.
The Tesseract.
The Tesseract.
Okay.
And then...
Then there was a second one, but it was less consequential.
It was. I can't believe this is the worst spoiler ever, you guys. I don't have any notes. Can't wait a week. Just can't do it. Captain Marvel, second spoiler. So I do stand-up comedy. My name is Jackie Cation, and I am doing Flappers this very weekend. I don't know when this will go up, but I'm doing Flappers at Burbank, headlining it. Last weekend...
What are the dates you're headlining? Say the dates.
29/30
at Flappers in Burbank.
Yep, 29/30 at Flappers in Burbank.
The Montclair one closed down.
Oh, did it?
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
No, I think that's still going.
Still going. Oh, great.
Yeah, there's at least 12 to 27 people who want to go see comedy out in Claremont, and Flappers is there for them.
12 to 27 people. So, such a specific marketing number they have.
Weirdly, I did a live Dork Forest last weekend in Boise. Again, 22 people. I don't understand what it is about my live shows, but 22 people show up every time. Doesn't matter if I'm in Hong Kong. Doesn't matter if I'm anywhere.
Good.
It's always 22.
Yeah.
Unless...
And they're the best 22.
They are the best 22.
They find the pager. The Avengers find the pager.
Oh, that's it. It's the page... Oh, she shows up. It's the spoiler for Endgame.
Yeah.
Black Widow turns around.
They're running it nonstop. They have no idea what it does.
Monica Rambeau.
Oh, I thought it was Rochambeau.
No.
Rochambeau was the guy in the Revolutionary War. I'll be over here mixing up my French people. Rambeau. Monica Rambeau is, she grows up to be a superhero. You are talking about, so they have the pager hooked up and they've still been set. And finally, Black Widow goes, we have to reboot it because somebody's going to answer it. She turns around and there is Captain Marvel. Remember that in the Stinger?
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, where's Nick Fury? And,
nice.
Ding dong. Endgame is in April, right?
Yes.
It's coming up.
And she's in now. Captain Marvel is in the new Endgame trailer.
Yes. Yeah. Which they were obviously holding until.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, Captain Marvel got released.
Guess what I'm doing after we close out of this banana thing? Let's do this.
Anyway. Comedy Film Nerd's Banana Thing. F92.
Hashtag
banana thing. Knock yourselves out, people. Okay. So. I accidentally got an altercation, huh? Altercation?
Yeah.
Anyone? Nope. Okay, so I did a feature film. Yeah, it was bad. Okay. I did a feature spot for Aaron Foley at Flappers a couple weekends ago.
And wait, let me just preface this by saying, before when Jackie told me this, she was telling me a couple other things, and then I went, these stories should not be coming out of a comedy club in Burbank called Flappers.
Right. Well,
it feels like, oh, were you in the, you know, the middle of Kentucky in some roadhouse? Is that what was going on?
Right. It was grim. It was, here's the thing is, and Flappers, I had a long talk with Barbara who owns Flappers the next day. She said, here's where we failed, altercation. And I was like, and here's where I failed. I escalated it. And so we both agreed to it. And then she said to me, are you still willing to do your weekend gig where you headline here at Flappers at the end of the month? And I said, are you still willing to have me? And she said, Jimmy Dore threw a glass of wine at some woman in the front row one time. We still book him. And I quote. And I was like, oh, that's right. Male comics have often jumped off the stage. And then somebody else told me that Gary Gulman jumped off the stage at the Improv once and wrestled a guy like an old-timey Western movie into the hallway where they were rolling like a tumbleweed.
Fights with audience members is not a new thing.
Not a new thing. Comics. Nobody invented it. And, you don't see a lot of ladies doing it.
Somebody invented it. And during vaudeville.
During vaudeville, it was wacky.
I tell you who invented it. A drunk.
Yeah.
And this guy was drunk. Mm-hmm. So here's what happened. So while Aaron Foley is on stage, I'm setting up the merch in the foyer. Flappers is like, Barbara was like, why were you setting it up in the foyer in between shows on a Friday night? That's not cool. You should have set it up on the patio, which is where merch goes in between shows. And I was like, okay. But I wasn't. And she was like, yeah, that's where we dropped the ball. And I said, okay, this is what was happening. So I'm setting it up and there's a table behind me is that screen that you could take a picture at with that says Flappers a lot. And then there was a coat rack that sort of blocked one end of it. And so I packed. The bar was totally packed. In comes one of the flapper worker ladies who says, hey, everybody go to the Yoo-Hoo room, which is the small room. Follow me. Follow me out to the Yoo-Hoo room. And everybody starts following. There was a very drunk man, probably 5'7", 5'8". Not a super big guy, just super drunk. And I was told later that him and his buddy had come to Flappers drunk. They had they did not serve them at all. But for some reason, they were going to a show at the Yoo-Hoo room. And they were so drunk that they were not serving them. This guy was super hammered. And he said to the young woman who worked at Flappers, hey, my buddy and I want to follow you. And she said, oh, good. That we're going to the Yoo-Hoo room. You're going to the Yoo-Hoo room? And he goes, no, just follow you. We just want to follow you home and follow you in your room and just follow you around because you're so fucking cute. And it went like that. And she got the look that Graham has on his face right now, which was with sort of a half terrified, half grossed out, half three halves. Mm-hmm. And and she's like, no, don't do that. And then she turns around and leads people out into the street and to go to the Yoo-Hoo room, right? And I decide to address this gentleman. And I go up to him and I go, nope. And he's like, what? And I said, you don't say shit like that to people because it's scary. Mm-hmm. It's scary to say stuff that you're going to follow somebody. Don't do it. And I'm in his face and I'm a little in his face, right? And this is, and he goes, I was just kidding. I was just kidding. And I was like, no, I know. I know you were kidding. And so I am whisper fighting with this guy because it's a packed bar. And so we're talking under the thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm pointing.
Was this before or after your show?
After the show. He wasn't in the show.
Right.
Okay. He was waiting to go to the Yoo-Hoo room show.
Right.
Anyway, his big, a bigger guy, his buddy comes over and he's like, what's going on? And I said, nothing's going on. I'm talking to this guy. This guy is going, do I get it? I think so. And big guy is like, well, stop talking to him. And he's like, well, it's over. Just go to your show. And he goes, it's not over. It's not over. What's going on? And I said, well, it can be over. Why don't you just go to your show? And he goes, well, what would you do about it? And I said, I'm not going to do anything, but I could get you kicked out of the whole show. And he goes, who, you? You're going to kick me out? And I was like, well, I could. What? I am a 53-year-old white lady. And so I said, I could, but I'm going to get a guy. Mm-hmm. And he goes, what would you do? And he's an inch from my fucking face.
Really?
Yeah. And I said, well, I could punch you. And hi. Ah. And he goes, do it. Just do it. And I was like, no. Just get out. Just leave. And I'm looking around for help, and there's no help. At which Barbara goes, why was there no help? Why was there no help? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, there was one woman working the register for the next show. And she's like, no, I know. I know she was there. Anyway, there should have been help. And I said, and I escalated it. And I was like, well, get out. And I said, why don't you guys just go? And he's like, why don't you punch me? You're not going to punch me. And I said, no, I'm not, but get out. And he was like, why don't you punch? And I, so then he's literally got me backed in between these things. And I could have wrestled my way out from where the coat rack was. Mm-hmm. But as Andy Ashcraft, my husband, said to me, he said, it was a bully trap. That's what it was. Because you thought to yourself, well, if I run, I will feel bad about myself because I ran. And if I punch him, which is what I ended up doing, I will feel bad because I hit somebody. He said it was a bully trap. You were going to feel guilty in any case. And then he also said, stop hitting people. That's the last thing Andy Ashcroft said.
You punched this guy?
Well, he said, you're not going to punch me. You're not going to punch me. And then he's backed me up against the thing. And so I am holding a bottle of ginger ale, a glass bottle of ginger ale. Mm-hmm. And so I stiff armed him and I popped his lip. I broke his lip. At which point, as you can imagine, all hell broke loose because then he's like, do it again, which he wanted. He didn't think I would do it. And so then he wanted me to try again so that then he could block me and then beat the shit out of me is my assumption. Because then I was like, no. But then two other people show up. They're friends. A woman who is grabbing him. And by the way, the smaller guy is grabbing him as well. And the smaller drunk guy who said the thing, he's saying, no, everyone should stop. I was the one. I made it weird. I'm so sorry.
So small guy's owning his creepness.
Yeah, and got through to him.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, that guy heard me.
A big drunk guy
who wasn't even there.
Just wanted to fight.
And then his buddy and the woman come up and they're like, well, what did he say? Why did you hit him? What did he say? And so I'm trying to answer that, except for that the big guy is still right in my face going, do it again. And then Will, the manager, shows up and goes, hello, I am the manager. I'm wearing a Flapper's hat. I'm wearing a fedora because I work at Flapper's. step away from the comedian. And then I am dragged backstage. I am told to go backstage. I can't get past any of these people, so I end up out the door, at which big guy and little guy holding on to him, trying to hold him back, follow me after. And Will, the manager, is like, what are you doing outside? Don't be outside. And I said, I couldn't get to the door. And he goes, go through the yellow room. Go to the green room. And so I go back, and they called the cops. And then turns out two drunky Magoos don't want to talk to the cops.
Shocker. They split when 5-0 rolls up?
Yes. That's what happened. They said, we don't want to press charges. We're just going to go. And Don Friesen.
Technically, he could have.
Oh, completely.
Is that the point your husband made you? Yeah. Like, that's assault? Yeah. Okay.
All kinds of people had all kinds of points about how this could have ended poorly.
Yeah.
And but here's the Captain Marvel.
Oh, wait, yeah, I was waiting for the Marvel tie-in.
Yeah, here it is. So I go home, I have to tell Andy that I punched somebody. And he goes, okay, so the last time you had any kind of altercation where you pushed a guy, we had just seen Wonder Woman. Today, so
you're filling up your cape. Is that what's going on, yeah, Jackie?
And then Andy Ashcroft said to me, am I going to have to watch you when we see Black Widow? And I said, possibly. Very, very possibly.
Well, Jackie,
there you go. There's I
love
a story.
I love that story. I'm going to break it down a little bit. As a comedian and a guy that studies martial arts, and does like to fight. several things. First of all, fuck the drunk people. Fuck them. Drunk people, male or female, have ruined more goddamn comedy shows than should.
Yes.
And the comedian in me.
Well, the comedian in you is like, go.
Fucking eat their fucking face. I have had, this single best video I have on my YouTube channel is this drunk lady yelling at Jimmy Dore and I, and we take her apart. It's the greatest. It is.
Wait, did you just destroy her? Have you talked to Hofstetter about that? You can't just destroy people. Anyway.
Oh.
He's got all these videos that say heckler, comedian destroys heckler.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But that's his brand.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
It's painful. Anyway,
and some people in the comment section were like, you shouldn't have
been mean.
You shouldn't have been mean. And I was like, she had been disrupting the show all goddamn night, and that was the final straw. So, no. And you should have brought her on stage and had a reasonable discussion. You do not do that with drunk. Yeah, I love.
Have you been out in public?
Oh, what's God.
Yeah.
And I don't. And then as a guy that, you know, is sober, I don't argue with drunks. I don't argue with drunks.
That's okay.
So that's maybe another thing you and I could discuss off the microphone.
Well, you know, and everything's predicated on what movie came out the weekend before. So that's
yeah. and same for me.
Yeah.
So that's the thing. So that's what I would say. These drunk guys are dicks. They're walk assholes. Away. I'm not excusing
walk
them.
Away.
Walk away because you don't argue with drunks because there's no reasonable thing that's going to happen. Name this girl, by the way, when we slammed her, she was like, what? Because we were making fun of the New York Times. She's like, my dad works there. And we were like, oh boy. So we crush her. The door guys, and we're like, you're, and I was like, you're done. Cause we, I'd asked her to stop. I had the door guys talk to her several times. Yeah. She wouldn't shut up. She is the door guy. She's fighting with the door guy. She goes for his neck and he goes, man, I was in the military. And if this would have been a guy, I would have ripped his fucking arm off. But because it was a woman, I had to go easier on her. And I was like, wow. The gender is irrelevant. Here's a drunk fuckstick.
Right. Who might hurt you.
Who might hurt you and...
Do not be hurt.
Do not be hurt. And right. And a bigger guy is definitely more of an issue because there's just size. There's just...
Right, just power.
Power.
Just, yeah, yeah.
There's just muscle and power. But crazy is
and
crazy.
And him tipping over and falling on you.
Yeah.
Too,
oh, right, right. You'd be squashed.
Yeah.
But...
Chris, who doesn't do any fighting, he could fall over and hurt you. Yeah.
So I will always say like...
People don't know this about me. I was almost a black belt.
I know, Chris. I'd love to see Chris knock someone out. I would fucking
the
love
the pen
it.
Is mightier than the sword.
Anyway. Yeah. Unless it's jammed up your ass. So there's that. So like these guys were good, like good for you for calling out the creep guy, because that's like I might have that sunk in. That worked.
Yeah.
It worked. And it's like and it's what I when I've called out people for whatever and they if they go fuck you, then I go, all right, I'm done. Then I go, you didn't hear me. You're not
you're
gonna
never
hear
gonna
me.
Hear me.
You're yeah. gonna you're the person who's gonna wake up tomorrow and you're gonna call the club and complain.
Yeah.
You're never gonna get it. You were spoiled as a child, nobody disciplined you correctly.
And you're broken. I can't fix you from here.
Right. Get away.
Right.
This is why parents shouldn't give kids everything they want. Mm-hmm. You're the
this
reason.
This took a weird turn. Anyway,
so,
go.
So that
not wrong, by the way.
The big guy
says the only person with children.
Yeah, yeah.
The big guy coming in. That's obviously now. He's looking for trouble, and
because from what you said, he didn't want to let it go.
No, he didn't want to let it go.
No, no, he would not let it. He would not let me go.
He would not
like.
Let,
I'm backed up against the, a feather boa covered.
Right.
Drunken courage.
Yeah, drunken courage wants a fight. Now you gave it to him. Not excusing his behavior,
nope.
But you gave it to him.
Right, that's what he was looking for. But now he has to spend 3 days with a fat lip, going, "Girl punched me."
Yeah, girl punched me. Yeah. I was telling a girl to punch me, and she did.
Right,
and
that's,
so
and that is now, the summation of that
that's,
story.
That's assuming they have any recollection of that evening,
right?
When they wake
right,
up,
right, right.
Oh,
that could be a blackout.
He remembers getting punched by a girl. I guarantee.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
Does.
That's
his fat lip reminds him every day. He brushes his little fucking rotten teeth. So
maybe that's rock bottom for him.
It might be. It could
I
help.
Hope. Also, on a personal note, when I hear stories like that, I always go, God, I wish I was there.
Right?
I wish that I would have turned the corner and seen this guy in your face and I would have just fucking unloaded on him.
Right.
And well, I would have gone, hey, cops, I'm sober. This guy was drunk fucking with my friend. That's why he's unconscious.
What I love was Will literally, he's like, hello, I am the manager. And then literally just put himself in between the two of us. And Will isn't a big guy. He's tall, but he's pretty thin. And he's just like, hi, please step away from the comedian. Step away from the comedian. And
security. Like cops say that. Step away from the comedian.
And which made the bigger guy go, she's a comedian? Which, of course, is the hardest burn.
Yeah.
Anyway. So
like,
I go backstage, Don Friesen, by the way, trying to make the, while we wait to find out if the cops are going to charge me or what's going to happen, right? And Don Friesen had been headlining in the smaller, the Yoo-Hoo room. And so we're sitting around. He was like, well, here's the silver lining. You weren't headlining the Yoo-Hoo room. And I was like, which is very funny
God
if you're a
comedian logic.
And he was just trying to break the tension. But I told both David Barber, the people who own the club, that, and they were both like, what an asshole. And I said, he was just kidding.
No, he was joking.
He was just busted.
Because here's the thing too, like, and this is not going back to what I've had numerous martial art instructors tell me, which is like, especially if you've studied martial arts, you better be real clear on who you throw at, because that can be construed assault with a weapon.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Because you're skilled labor.
You're skilled labor. You're like a plumber. So like...
You're a fist plumber.
In the future, you have... That's like, dirty. If somebody ever... you have to like... The only... You have to say, this person came at me. I felt threatened. I had no other choice.
Did you see that trailer for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood with...
Yes.
Yeah. The guy playing Bruce Lee.
Yeah.
It's like, my hands are lethal weapons. If we get into a fight and I kill you, I could be charged with murder. And then Brad Pitt goes, that happens to everyone. If you kill anybody in a fight, you're charged with murder. It's called manslaughter.
Oh, that's great.
It's a fantastic line. Oh, by the way, yeah, that was a good trailer. So, yeah, that's the thing I would just like... And,
you wish you had been there.
Yeah, I wish I had been there. And then if you have a lot of anger and you want to do a lot of fighting, I would suggest taking a martial art class.
Oh, really? To bleed off some of this rage?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because let me tell you something.
I'm taking my son to a kung fu class in like an hour.
I studied for years.
I was thinking about taking up Pilates. Is that anything?
No, Jackie.
Okay. Is that something like that?
No, Jackie. You need to punch some things. You need to get that out in a constructive manner.
Kickboxing, martial arts, there's plenty of ways
and
to do it.
Learn how to defend yourself. And part of the martial arts training is not just punches and kicks. It's also the psychology on how to diffuse something to where you're not escalating and getting yourself in trouble.
My entire part of this is that I escalated it. Mm-hmm. And I did not, I mean, I don't have a problem with being a meddler and standing up for things.
That's noble.
I don't have, especially after I've seen a superhero movie, clearly. But I don't need to escalate it. My brain's attached to my mouth. You know, you hire me to do a corporate, I don't swear. How about I use that skill set that I've been trained over the last 35 years to not end up in a place where a guy's yollering at me, where I feel like I feel threatened enough and intimidated enough that I want to react in a physical manner. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not cool.
I mean, this could all be summed up with just Andy's advice.
Don't punch people.
Don't punch people.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, as a guy that's dealt with anger issues his entire life.
Nice Hulk watch.
Jackie gave me a sweet watch. I'm going to take a photo, put it on Instagram.
Okay.
It injects a sedative every hour.
No, it puts testosterone into my body. As martial arts and meditation and yoga has really helped with that.
Yeah.
Especially in the last year and a half, two years of, I put this online, my Me Too story of memories of abuse has brought up a lot of shame, a lot of rage.
Yeah.
And then having a violent girlfriend brought up a lot of emotions, having other like people, mainly women at a specific comedy club, defend her, brought up a lot of like, what?
Yeah.
And it was a lot of work. Some of that, obviously.
Yeah.
But also, I went back to studying martial arts this past summer and I was like, oh, right. Because when I'm training with people, I realize, first of all, it takes the energy off. And then when you train, you realize like there's little dudes in class that can whoop me because they have more training and experience.
Right. And holding those positions, I think, can also do some, I had a woman on who was a karate on the Dork Forest. And she said, I know it sounds ridiculous, but that is how it's pronounced. I am so sorry. but she was talking about holding those positions and what that does to your mindset.
Yes.
It teaches
Yoga
you
does
to pause.
The same thing.
It teaches you to pause because you learn. And like someone's asked me, like, Graham, have you ever used it? Like, have you ever used your... And
yoga?
I go, yeah, yoga, yeah. But like,
to bore someone to death.
To bore someone to just sit there and talk about my chakras while they want to pour meat over my face. Is like, have I used punches and kicks and blocks? No, but I've used the philosophy and the physicality of martial arts to diffuse situations.
Yeah.
By standing with a person and calmly talking to them, I'm on my balls and my feet.
Yeah.
I'm
You're ready.
I'm ready.
Yep.
I'm putting my hands up saying to you, I don't want to, let's just
de-escalate.
It's okay. Victory comes with the sword still in the scabbard. In my mind, I'm like, if this person comes, puts their hands on me, it's over.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm saying to them also in a way of like, I don't want to have a problem with you. It's all good. Let's just settle this down. Especially if they're drunk. If they're on something, you're not talking to a person.
Right, right.
You're talking to the bottle or the drug.
Right, right.
So, and I've diffused some really gnarly situations by that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've gone, oh, that's what it was really for. Victory comes with the sword still in the scabbard.
Right. That's a hell of a tattoo. That's
because here's the reason why they came with that. Because when you draw, and you know this as a martial artist too, if I'm going to get into a physical confrontation with somebody, guess what I am doing? I'm putting my body at risk.
Yeah.
So a UFC champion could break their knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hitting even not one, a one punch knockout, they could still hurt them. And every martial artist knows this. I'm putting my own body at risk if I get into this. So it's got to be the absolute last resort. Meaning I've said, I don't want to fight and you're putting your hands on me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just something.
Well, and the other thing that I did realize in this situation is that woman did not ask for help. Right. She had dealt with it in the way that she had dealt with it, and then had just taken those people away. So why don't I take that into account as well? Mm. It's like, hey, Mrs. Kravitz, why don't you keep your eyeballs in there in the scabbard as well? How about that? What, you got a nose problem? What are you, the police?
Keep your eyeballs in your scabbard.
Why don't you keep your nose in the scabbard?
Ears? Ear plugs? If you hadn't heard what he had said.
Right, right. Because I was on the Erie Canal, yeah. You guys. I was on the Eiffel Tower. Huh? Oh. I had a nose problem.
I hope I'm not coming across preach. I just say this because you're my friend and I don't want to see you spend a night in jail.
But the obit. Yeah, who wants that?
Yeah, the obit or the night in jail. I have a scar on my face from drunken fights and I was in a Chicago jail in my 20s. They're not fun places to be.
No.
That's why Graham's like all hippie, lovey love. So he's not a fucking degenerate Irish fighty drunky train wreck.
Isn't there somewhere in the middle maybe we could...
My excessive hippiness, Chris, is not a problem. I'm not out on a ledge.
Is there another version of both of you wearing red somewhere? Yeah. One of you wanting to carry scissors, the other one not wanting to.
Nice us reference.
Yep.
All right, that's episode 92.
No, not yet. We have some Patreon sponsors. Oh.
Dun dun dun. 2 hours
later.
We
almost forgot.
Patreon, you're patronizing your patrons.
Yes, we really appreciate you guys supporting. This is the ad tier at $50. From Will Leonard, his wife, Kathy Bagwell, is once again riding the MS-150.
You go, Kathy.
A fundraising ride that is helping fuel progress toward... Ma'am, sit down, please. toward a world free of MS to ride from Houston to Austin at the end of April. The money raised will help fund amazing progress in MS research. You can reach her donation page at willthetd.com, willthetd.com/CFN. Help her reach her goal. And Johnny Rulon promoting his novel, Green Cheek, Junkie's Guide to Street Magic. It's available on Amazon in both digital and hard copy. It's an experimental stream of consciousness novel which follows the exploits of the muse Calliope and her mortal lover T.S., on a journey through time, space, and the hidden places of a supernatural America. Website is happyhorrorshowproductions.com, happyhorrorshowproductions.com. And Fanboy Planet. Fanboy Planet is a website and podcast for all things geeky and amazing. Check out Fanboy Planet for your comics news, your movie news, TV news, and amazing interviews. Check out fanboyplanet.com. And from Chris Parker Howard, Coffee Over Suicide, a dramedy podcast about mental illness and choosing life over death, one cup of coffee at a time. New episodes every Friday wherever podcasts are found. Find out more at coffeeoversuicide.com, coffeeoversuicide.com. And Alice Frazier, co-host of the Bugle podcast, host of Tea with Alice, brings you a series of three genre-bending solo stand-up shows that explore the boundary between comedy and tragedy. They were recorded back-to-back as a three-hour show on the Melbourne International Comedy Festival with a binaural microphone, which creates an intensely immersive listening experience. AliceFrazier.com, AliceFrazier.com with an S. And Rebecca Evans, The Art Podcast. When we move past hesitation, we're true to ourselves, we find our own art in life. You want to hear some fun stories and get inspired? Check out The Art, facebook.com/TheArtPodcasts with an S. La Calavera by Alan Ross. It's the story of a pirate radio operator who decides to go into the pirate cable TV business. Darren Loney, together with a group of misfits and the questionable guidance of a spiritual advisor in the form of Richard Nixon, gear up to take on the world's largest media conglomerate and its egomaniacal celebrity CEO. It's now available on Amazon in ebook and hard copy. Thank you, Patreon.
Thank you, Patronies. Patreon.com/comedyfilmnerds. Support what we're doing. We love it. And we love all of you. And our my question to everybody here doesn't need to be answered. Are more women getting into fights now with these movies? Is this a thing? Or are we more like...
Please email us and tell us if you are doing the white lady meat shield thing. Damn it.
You're coming
white
out of these movies going, oh, who wants a fucking taste? Yeah.
You like my boobs? Let me shove them in your face while I punch you in the, here's in the nose.
I'm going to knee you in the throat.
Yeah, this waiter at P.F. Chang's is giving me the eye.
Tap out, punk. Yeah.
Crazy.
So, all right.
That's our episode.
Yeah, it took an unexpected turn.
I didn't think we were going to go and do that, but I'm glad we did.
Yeah, and all related to Captain Marvel anyway.
It all does.
Mm-hmm. It all does. And all the MCU. And Captain Marvel's great. See it again. Mm-hmm. Think about that Superman movie with Christopher Reeves and go, I think it's a delight. Mm-hmm.
Jackie, where can we find you punching out audience members at a local comedy club?
Well, I'm doing an army tour starting next week, April 3rd to the 23rd, through Eastern Europe. Which, by the way, includes Istanbul. Who knew that was Eastern Europe? But
not
it is.
Not Constantinople.
And but I'm going to Bulgaria and Poland and Romania and Kosovo. And
so you're going into Turkey.
And we're going into Turkey. And I am of Armenian ancestry. And I panicked briefly. Then I called my dad and I said, I can't go to Turkey. I'm Armenian. And he goes, no, you're not. You're American. Shut it. And and he said someone from church actually mentioned that they were Armenian on the way out. And the Turks pulled her out of line and grilled her for 20 minutes in Turkish and then found her passport and were like, oh my God, you're an American. Get away. And then let her go. So it's going to be fine. And plus, I'm on a DOD passport, so it'll be
good.
You know, it'll be fine.
Are you going to wear any?
You really have to punch a lot of people for them to detain you.
Right. I'm not
going
to punch any
soldiers. Are you going there
during
like April 24th, during the genocide recognition day?
No, I'll be back just in time for the parade.
Okay.
So just in time for Martyrs Day, you guys, unless they make me leave sooner through Syria on foot. Anyway, that's a reference for just the people who know a lot of Armenians. God. But here's a scoop. Yeah, so I'm doing a bunch of shows, and you should follow me on Twitter and go to JackieCation.com or FamilyPetAncestry.com brings you to JackieCation.com because I bought it because it made me laugh. FamilyPetAncestry.com. Want to know if your cat came over on the Mayflower? Go to FamilyPetAncestry.com. Anyway, my schedule's all over it. Live it up.
Did your cat come over on the Mayflower?
Is your dog eligible to join the DAR? The Dogs of the American Revolution?
Oh, you should create a real site. You would be a billionaire hustling people for...
It's a real thing. They're doing cat DNA now. Anyway, so...
What?
Wow, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. People need... People are driving Lyfts, Graham. People need secondary income. So people are going to... If rich people want to know if their dog is...
Oh.
It's a 23andMe for dogs and cats. It's really bad. It's dumb. You look at a dog and you go, oh, it looks like a mutt.
If it's just dumb tax on the rich, I'm all for it.
It is. Yeah, it's completely dumb tax on the rich. Mm-hmm. And eat the rich, you guys. Don't forget to write.
Eat them whole. Eat them whole.
Dork Forest, Jackie and Laurie podcasts. A couple of podcasts happening. Feel free to listen to them. All Things Comedy, Dork Forest. Max Fun, Jackie and Laurie.
And we do want to mention, too, we are closing out the Jackie Cation physical merchandise here at the store. 20% off. Use the code DORK. Good for the end of the month, which is only a few days away. Yeah. However, we will be retaining the digital download of Jackie's special. This will make an excellent Horcrux that will still remain on the site. But the physical stuff's going, so get it before it goes.
Get a shirt. Get a CD. Mm-hmm. Get a free sticker.
We're toying with the Jackie Cation boxing gloves and mouthpiece. we're still working on that. We'll figure that out.
You guys, I got to show you my Captain Marvel jacket when we hang up.
All right.
Of course you will. That's our episode. That's our show. Thank you, Jackie Cation.
Supersize
spoiler ep, guys, with some fight tips. Mm-hmm. It's good business. My name is Graham Elwood.
The episode, bruises and all.
My name is Graham Elwood.
And I'm Chris Mancini. And as always, remember,
Han shot first.
Not punch, shot.